Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. You look fantastic. Thank you for being here today. We are in part two of a new message series called An Adventure of a Lifetime. And what we've been talking about is that our lives were created for more than we typically experience. We imagine an adventure being something we go to and then return from. Because we would probably, if in our honest moments, would reflect on our lives, we would say, this, by definition, what I'm experiencing is not an adventure. I mean, we can say we've been on adventures and we can say we've experienced adventures, but I don't think that we would say, this thing that I go on every single day, this thing that I experience every single day, is probably not an adventure. And I think the reason is not because of desire, because every person is created with wiring in us. God has created us to know that we have purpose and to want to live according to that purpose, but that can easily get, we can easily get distracted from that. And one of the reasons is because we go in and equip ourselves for a lot of different things, relationships, marriage, schooling, work, finances, raising kids, just functioning in life. And there's a lot of equipping and time we spend on that. And very few moments in our lives are intentionally spent on equipping ourselves to do the things that God's created us for. And that's why we live in perpetual frustration. We feel an uneasiness in us that we don't satisfy with working, and even as great as marriage is, marriage and parenting and all the things that we've equipped ourselves for, they're a part of those things, but they are not the fulfillment of those things that God created in us to do. Let me read a couple passages of scripture to you just to get your mind in the right place. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. You can see it on the screens to the left and right of me. It's in your notes. Of course, it's on your app in your Bible, a button there in the Summit Church app. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so through what Jesus did on the cross, God, the great shepherd of the sheep, will equip you with every good thing for doing his will. I love that wording. Equip you with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom glory may be forever and ever. That says that God has an incredible life for you doing the things that God has set before you. And how many know that God sets us up for success? So when God assigns us to do something, that thing's going to bring you satisfaction, happiness, joy, contentment. Now, when we go out and we journey after the things that we want, sometimes we'll get temporary feelings like that, but they don't bring us that contentment and that satisfaction. And so God does that. This is the second passage, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You've heard this before. Every scripture passage is inspired by God. All of the Bible is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, another translation says. That's what it literally means in the Greek. All of them are useful. All scriptures are useful for pointing out errors, correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. And then I love this. They, scripture, equip God's servants so they are completely prepared to do good things. I want to live a good life, don't you? I want to do good things. I want to live a life in which I produce the kind of things that get passed on from generation to generation to generation. But sometimes you and I, we want to exceed where we're at, and we want to get right to the finish line before we've even had to run the race. I'm not a patient person. And so by the way, you should be following us on Instagram, because you'll get the Summit Minute. That's a 1-minute recap of the weekend. You'll get upcoming events, and you'll get a little bit of a video from me each week just sort of introducing what we're going to be talking about. And here's what I shared in it, is that I'm impatient. And so if I try something new, I give up very quickly if I'm not great at it right away. I've owned 3 different sets of golf clubs because I keep believing that I'm going to go out and be excellent at golf. And then I throw my clubs farther than I hit the ball, and I pick those up and I go, those are going on Craigslist tomorrow. And so I've lost a lot of money playing golf because I'm not good at it, and I don't get good at it right away. And I have a friend who's a great golfer, and he's probably afraid to even give me a tip or tell me to do, because I don't want to hear any of it. I know I don't need to be told all the things I'm doing wrong. I get it. I'm doing something wrong. I want to be good at things right away. That's our problem, is we are we're programmed societally to want to be great at something right away. There's instant gratification, and if there's not, you and I move on. But here's the big problem with that. The big problem with that is that the kind of things that really matter in life, you need to learn how to just do day after day after day after day and not be great at them and just learn to be, you have to survive before you can thrive. So before I can thrive in my adventure, I need to learn the survival basics of, number one, fueling my appetite. I need to learn in my spiritual journey, in this adventure that God set me on, I need to learn how to survive first before I thrive. And the first way to do that is, number one, fueling my appetite. So God has created us with these two mechanisms in us that are for our survival. And they're called hunger and thirst. And before you get confused, the widely held belief is that hunger and thirst are your body's way of letting you know that you need to go to In-N-Out or Dutch Bros. And that's not what hunger and thirst are for. I know that we've allowed ourselves to satisfy those hunger and thirst that way, but that's not really what it is. Hunger and thirst is your body's way of cueing you that you need fuel to continue to function. Your body's literally telling you, I need you to satisfy these things so I can keep operating, because your body uses food as fuel. We've turned food into this satisfaction thing. Food has become not fuel for us, but sort of this, it's a social engagement. It's something we do according to taste. Like if I ate according to taste, I'd be Fat Chris again, because I love the way food tastes. I don't have a ton of vices. One of my vices is I love to eat, and not because of hunger, but because I love the way food tastes, because people do a great job making food taste good. The problem is your body really is just trying to tell you, I need you to put the right things in me so that I can continue to do for you what you need me to do for you. The mechanics of the body are such, the more you do, the more your body will need fuel, right? So the guy that works a 8-hour day, where's Jay? Jay, are you in here? There's Jay. So Jay's a UPS driver, and Jay has to, I feel sorry for UPS drivers, because what I order on Amazon, I never order small things. They're always giant things, and they're always heavy things. Like I got a generator for camping, and I just felt sorry for the guy who had to bring that to my door. So like Jay has to constantly be running in and out. That's why Jay can be skinny and still eat anything he wants, right? Because his body just cues him, hey, you need to fuel me to keep doing the thing you're doing. So he spends a lot, and the body has to tell him more frequently to fuel me. That versus someone who sits around and watches TV all day, the body doesn't need to cue them as often because the body's not burning up that fuel. You're following me, right? And you're probably a little bit ahead of me. The spiritual application is huge for this, that the more you do of the right things, the more your body craves and the more the body hungers and thirsts for more of the right thing. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those is the way that we would say it, #blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for right living, for the right things, for they will be filled. I love the way the Message translation says it. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. I love that. There's a ton of truth packed in there, and I won't take all the time to get in, but here's the gist of what that just said. How we feed our hunger and thirst is directly connected to how we become hungry and thirsty. Let me say that again. How we feed our hunger and thirst is directly connected to how we became hungry and thirsty to begin with. And then how we satisfy our hunger and thirst is directly connected to what we feed our hunger and thirst. Thank you very much, Pastor Brian. That was not on cue. I just didn't have a water and I sent somebody to go get me one. I was thirsty. So let me say it this way. If you're doing things, here's a deep spiritual phrase. If you're doing things in the flesh, okay, versus in the spirit. So in the flesh means you're satisfying your sinful nature. If you're doing things, if you're working an 8-hour day doing things in the flesh, guess what you're going to be hungry and thirsty for at the end of the day or throughout the day? Things that satisfy the flesh. But conversely, if you're hungry and thirsty for things that satisfy the spirit, if you're doing things all day long, if you're pursuing God, if you're chasing after the good things that God's created you to do, you're exerting your energy for that, guess what you're going to be hungry and thirsty for? Of course, you're gonna be hungry and thirsty for more of God's righteousness. You're gonna be hungry and thirsty for more of the things that God wants to do in your life. Listen to the way Galatians 5, 22 through 24 says it. The Holy Spirit, who by the way is a follower of Christ, resides in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, produces a different kind of fruit. A lot of food analogies in the Bible. Produces unconditional love and joy and peace and patience and kindheartedness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You won't find any law opposed to fruit like this. Because at that time, they were trying to distinguish between what they needed to do to satisfy God and what laws not to break. And here was Paul saying, listen, there is no law opposing all the things I just mentioned. You can do all of that all day long, and you'll never have God angry at you for doing any of that. Those of us who belong to the anointed one, Jesus Christ, have crucified our old lives and put to death the flesh, and listen, all the lust and desires that plague us. In other words, what Paul is saying is this: when you satisfy yourself with the fruit of the Spirit, you will no longer have a hunger for the things of the flesh. The more you satisfy yourself with the fruit of the Spirit, the more you don't crave those things. Now, I'm going to show you something. There's two different baskets of food right here. And I got to tell you that each has its own level of attraction. This is full of Hostess snacks. There's Hostess cupcakes, there's Twinkies in the middle, and there's Ding Dongs on the outside. And I hear some fans out there, okay? This one over here, this is the kind of thing that on Halloween, if some weird neighbor's handing this kind of stuff out and putting it in your basket, you're just mad. You're gonna go back and egg that house later, right? Because in here, an assortment of different apples. I didn't realize how many different apples there were until I stopped and bought these. And then there's some bananas and roasted pistachios and roasted almonds. And I got to tell you that this is, you don't need to be a dietitian or a health expert or a doctor to know this is far healthier for you than this. And don't be the weird person in the room that goes, well, actually, bananas have high sugar and you shouldn't eat. Shut up. I'm comparing these and these. If somebody's eating a banana instead of a Hostess cupcake, applaud them. Don't go, you know, you really should be eating an organic fufu fruit from Uganda because it has, just let them eat their flipping banana, okay? Side note, that's from Skinny Chris, who gets mad at people when they tell me not to eat bananas. I want to tell you something. I still want things like this. I'm not gonna lie to you, this tastes good. They have done a masterful job of making this stuff taste good. Whatever they squeeze into the middle of these things can't be defined by science, but I can tell you it tastes good. It's puffy, creamy sugar encased, what? So this is good, but I'm gonna tell you something. If I focus on this kind of stuff. That's a good one. I don't like all apples, though. I like the shape of that one. Totally different. And I'm going to tell you something. All right. That was delicious. All right. I'm gonna tell you something. There was a time when all I wanted was this kind of stuff, and it felt absurd to me when anything else was offered to me. There is a time now in my life where I actually crave that basket right there. We keep our house supplied with fruits and nuts and snacks that I can have that fuel me. I eat every couple hours. I like to always have something in my mouth. I keep my metabolism burning because as I spend that energy, I refuel with the right things. And I got to tell you that when I satisfy myself with the right things, I don't have an appetite left for the wrong things. And when you get yourself in a place where you're spending your energy doing the right things, you're going to crave to refill yourself with the right things. The closer you move to the Spirit of God, the more you move away from the appetite that feeds the flesh. Number two is this. That is good. Amen. Before I can thrive in my adventure, I need to learn the survival basics of number two, keeping my balance. Fill that in, keeping my balance. I want to show you a really cool video. And I actually looked this up because I remember seeing these little fellas here. And I want you to watch this really quick, 45 seconds. Now, we all go, oh, they're so cute, right? I'm gonna tell you this, those goats, as I'm sure you understand, are not doing that to be adorable. They're not climbing the side of a virtually vertical surface in order to be cute or entertaining. They're doing it for survival. They need to get to salt that they don't get through the vegetation that they eat, and they have learned how to do the nearly impossible and keep their balance on something they should be. It should be impossible for them to. Now, here's what I thought about as I was watching that, is who was the cameraman that got the close-ups on that? And how did he get the close-ups on that? That's a dam they were on, but that happens naturally all over the place. Goats are some of the most agile and capable creatures of keeping their balance on nearly impossible surfaces. And they do it for one reason, because they have to. Because they need to do it to survive, to keep their balance to survive. You and I, if you're not already there, a little bit ahead of me, have to learn how to keep our balance in adverse conditions, because I want you to hear something. Throughout your life, there's going to be people and things that are constantly trying to knock you off balance, continually trying to push you off balance. Listen to what David says in Psalm 17, 4 through 5. In desperation to chase back after God and get back into the rhythm of his relationship with God, he says this: I'm not trying to get my way in the world's way. I don't want to satisfy my desires in the way that the world would have me satisfy those desires. I'm trying to get your way in your word's way. I want to know the wisdom of God and get things through the wisdom of God. And I love this. He says, I'm staying on your trail. I'm putting one foot in front of the other and I'm not giving up. The only reason you and I give up is because we get knocked off balance and we get knocked down. And when we get knocked down, we get frustrated and we get defeated and we get hurt. And I'm going to... There's always three, by the way. The holy sneeze, the trinity of sneezes. So, Brian, edit that out in the online version. So there's a race that just recently happened. There's no way I'll ever participate in this, but I admire those who do, and it's called the Tahoe 200 Endurance Race. And if you haven't heard about it, it's exactly what you think it would be. It's 200 miles around Lake Tahoe. It's actually 205.5, but that doesn't flow as well. You just say the Tahoe 200. And in this race, they have to make their way through rough terrain. There's only maybe 6 or 7 miles where they're actually on paved surfaces. They're on, for a short time, also on like dirt paths that are for quads and motorcycles, but they are in single path. They are they go through streams, they go up hills, they go down hills, they're through woods. And they are not like, so if you've ever watched the Boston Marathon, they wear the creepy, weird shorts, you know, those real, like your gym coach used to wear or whatever, they're real short. And they have on the tank tops and they have the weird runner caps on with the tiny little things and their skinny, weird little bodies, and they run the Boston Marathon. It's all awesome how people run marathons. That's great. Except that's not how these people dress. These people dress with shoes that can help them endure the rough terrain. And they also carry these, almost all of those in the Tahoe 200 do these things right here. And these are called trekking poles. And the reason they do this is because you and I by ourselves within our own capacity cannot keep our balance in certain terrain. And so we have to lean on, you see those goats have all four legs and then they've got split hooves that actually get to separate and grab, and they have the ability to do things that seem impossible to us, and they are almost impossible to us, except when you begin to incorporate other things that help you keep your balance. And so when you're going down terrain, you can keep your balance this way, and you can use it for footing, and you can add the strength of balance to your journey. And I'm going to tell you what that is for you and I. It's moving from, because this is what every race is, it's moving from, we're going to say with this Tahoe 200, it's moving from the start line to the finish line, right? That's what every race's objective is. And you want to get there successfully so you'll incorporate any help. For you and I, we're moving from the wrong things in our life to the right things in our life. That's our journey. That's our race, is keeping our balance so that we can get away from the wrong things in our life. You want to get away from immaturity. You want to get away from struggle in your spiritual growth. You want to get away from indulging your flesh. You want to move towards getting things right in your relationship with God, in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with money. And you need to do that through incorporating extra help. And I'm going to tell you what the extra help is. Your balance comes from intimacy with God through prayer and the word of God in your life to help stabilize your thought life, your emotional life, your physical life, your mental life, and your spiritual life. You have to go on a journey with keeping balance here, because by yourself, you'll always get knocked off balance. But when you've got the intimacy of a relationship with the Holy Spirit through prayer, and you've got the word of God, the wisdom of God's word, the study of God's word in your life, your chance of staying on balance is far, far, far greater. I love these passages of scripture that sort of help us understand what it means to be on this race. Run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lust of your youth and chase after all that is pure. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. That finish line is all the things that make us what God wants us to be. So run away, 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, from sexual sin. So then, my beloved, 1 Corinthians 10:14, run from idolatry, putting anything before God in any form. Run away from that. And then I love this, because this is what David says. I will run after you with delight in my heart, for you make me obedient to your instructions. You see, we're running from something. We're running. I'm going to tell you, there was a movement in the Christian world for a long time, and it was almost like we were trying to pick fights with Satan. It's almost like we were like, we're going to stomp on the enemy, and we're going to kick his teeth in, we're going to do this. And I'm like, you know what you need to learn how to do? Run. Because I'm telling you, the enemy, he's good at what he does, and he can whip up on us as much as he wants if you go in there unequipped. So you got to get really good at running from fights. This is not my notes, but I'll tell you this story. So I was in college, and I liked a girl that my roommate liked. My roommate was a star football player for another college, and he transferred over the seminary I was going to. And he was big, much, much bigger than I was. I was in college, I was probably 145 pounds, and he was probably 285, and it was mostly muscle. Just a big, big guy. And he asked me, he goes, I'm not going to say the person's name. Do you like this person? And I was like, no, dude, we're totally friends. I don't know why I lied, because they weren't going out. But for some reason I did. I just said, no, dude, we're just friends. And we weren't. We were sort of dating. And he goes, okay, cool, because I wanted to ask her out, and I don't want it to be weird. And I was like, oh, go for it. And so then she's dating him and dating me. I knew about it. I was totally cool, because I was an idiot. I don't know why I was like, okay with that. And this girl and I were down in married housing. These trails go through these housing things, and we were down there by the stream talking, and here comes my roommate, big, he felt like 9'3", like trees were falling, and we were like so busted, and he was furious. He was furious at both of us. And I was scared. I was so scared, I went and got a hotel room that night so I didn't have to go back to my dorm room. Because I'm smart enough to run from that guy. I wasn't going to stay and fight it out. He would have won hands down. And when you go up against, listen to me, when you go up against sexual sin, sexual temptation, when you go up against temptation to steal money, when you go up against temptation to lie, when you go up against a lot of things the enemy puts before you to defeat you, you are going to lose hands down. So run from it. If you're in a work relationship that's tempting you to be in a sexual relationship, get another job. Because it's easier than getting another marriage. Word. It is good. That is good. And it's needed because we have become a society that indulges. It's if it makes you happy, you just have to be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. What makes you happy? That is the most immature, selfish, stupid thing you can do. Most of the good things that come from life are not about indulging your selfish desires. Number three and finally is this. Before I can thrive in my adventure, I need to learn the survival basics of keeping my bearings. So there's a great episode, I don't know if you ever watched The Office, but there's a great episode of The Office in which Michael and Dwight are out on, I think it's on a sales call, and they're going into unfamiliar territory and they're sort of lost. And Michael's got a GPS navigation system in his car and he's following the instructions. And Dwight wants to tell him through a map or, you know, sort of more manual ways how to get to where he wants to go. But Michael is insistent on listening to this GPS, which tells him to turn right now, turn right now. And he turns right and they end up in the middle of a lake. And they have to swim out and it's a hilarious episode of, and the point Michael is trying to is technology has messed everything up and listening to technology. And the funny part is if you have GPS in your car, you listen to your phone ever give you instructions, you'll know that they're not terribly accurate all the time. They can be misleading. They can tell you you're somewhere that you're not or tell you to turn when you know that you can't turn or it'll say arrived at destination and you're still in the middle of the street. And you go, no, I haven't arrived at destination. The truth is that for a long, long time, we had to rely on other things besides that. And one of the ways that people would do it is through what are called bearings. You would bear a certain degree, and the degrees are on the 360-degree scale, or 360-degree scale. And so they always come in threes. So you would say a bearing of 045 degrees or a bearing of 018 degrees. And they would know where they were at in relation to true north. So they would say, north is here, and everything like a clock is you do this. And so at sea, they would say, go a bearing of this, and that will lead you to the lighthouse. Here's what's important about knowing your bearings is you know where you're at so that you can get to where you're going. Like I have on my watch, I've told you this before, this is a cool little watch I bought and I really wanted it. And military use watches like this and people who go out and sort of adventure into unknown territories use it. And it's got an altimeter so that you know your altitude, that you know where you're at in relation to sea level. And then it can also I can turn the compass on right here and it'll spin around for a second and then it'll point me north. I even bought something not too long back. Somebody had given me some gift cards to Bass Pro, and I didn't really want anything else, and I saw this GPS device. It's for hiking and trekking, and I bought that, and it's pretty cool. You fire it up, and it's all color, and I can do waypoints and mark where I want to go and mark where I've been, and it can help me in relationship to my environment. And these are all essential tools if I'm going into uncharted territory. And I want you to listen to this. The more you adventure into the things that God wants you to do, the more you're going into areas you haven't been before. Because if you were in the middle of what God already wants you to do, you would feel that sense of satisfaction and gratification and contentment that comes with living the life God planned for you. So if you keep going to the familiar, you're never going to go out into the things that God wants. If you keep doing the same things over and over again and keep going to the same places, you're never going to need a compass because you know all those familiar places. But when you move out into the things that God wants to take you into and the person that God wants you to become, you're going to need to keep your bearings. You're going to need to know where you're at because you need to know where you're going. Listen to what Ephesians 4, 13 through 16 says. We must become like a mature person, growing until we become like Christ. So if you want to know what true north is, it's becoming like Jesus Christ. If you want to know where you're at and say, what are my bearings right now? The answer is, I need to be on this trajectory because I'm this far from, this distance from who Jesus Christ is, and I want to be more like him. And we have his perfection. Then we will no longer be babies. We'll not be tossed about like a ship that the waves carry one and then the other, one way and then the other. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and try any kind of trick to fool people into following the wrong path. No. Speaking the truth with love, we will grow up in every way into Christ who is the head. Let me stop right there and tell you that this right here, what we're doing, is called speaking truth in love. If this challenges you and it pushes back on you and it makes you uncomfortable, there's a very good chance there's something in your life that God's trying to do that maybe you've been unwilling to do. Don't you want somebody telling you you're going down the wrong way on a one-way street? Obviously, because you're headed the wrong direction, you're going to hurt yourself and hurt other people, and you're not getting to where you think you're going to. Then it continues on. The whole body depends on Christ, and all the parts of the body are joined and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. That means that every one of you here is here to help, number one, other people reach their destination, and number two, they're here to help you reach your destination. If we're all playing our own parts and we're doing the things that God's created us to do as a body, we're helping steer each other and keep bearings. So listen, when you're living out of sync with the whole body of Christ, and when you go find yourself another church because you don't like being challenged to live a particular way and you don't like to be told, I need to start obeying Christ in this area and doing this thing and stop doing this thing. If you don't like being challenged, you go find yourself something that you have a nice soft environment that doesn't push you or challenge you or speak truth in love, you can know that your bearings are off, that you're heading the wrong direction. You're heading away from the lighthouse, you're heading away from true north, and you're heading out into a sea of storminess in your life. Because if the body's working like the body's supposed to work, we are navigationally helping each other. Listen, it's important that you thrive because that's where God ultimately wants to take you. But sometimes you have to fake it before you make it. You've got to just learn to be good at surviving before you can thrive. Learn how to fuel your body the right way. Learn how to satisfy the right things in your life. Learn how to say no to the kind of things that you know indulge the flesh. I'm not arguing with you about whether they taste good or not. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. There's a season in which sin always tastes good. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to end up spiritually fat. You're going to be lazy and you're going to be unhealthy and your spiritual arteries are going to begin to close. You're going to feel a sense of fullness, but you're always going to want to shove something sugary and full of carbs. You're always going to want to just shove more stuff back into you to satisfy the sort of sick cravings that you have. You got to keep your balance. You've got to depend on things outside of yourself. You got to know that you yourself, you can't go on that journey. I know it's contrary to every Facebook meme out there that you can do this. You're a warrior. Listen, good for you. You'll not make it on your own. I'm telling you, the enemy's bigger than you, and you need the Word of God and intimacy with the Holy Spirit through prayer to be able to keep your balance in a world that's set up to knock you down. But you're a warrior too, I'm sure. And you got to know where you're at. It's okay to be honest with yourself, and it's okay to be honest with people you love. It's okay to say, listen, I don't know that you're hitting on all cylinders. And it's especially good for you to be able to say, I know I'm not hitting on all, I know I'm not heading the right direction. I know true north, being like Jesus Christ, is there, and I know where I'm at. I'm way off trajectory, and I need to be on a bearing, the right bearing. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And this just gives you a moment of reflection and privacy and anonymity between you and Jesus, just you guys right now working this out together. Would you say, Lord Jesus, I need to do some bearing adjustment. I need to do some appetite adjusting. I need to do some bearing adjusting. I don't feel like I'm on the right trajectory, and I don't feel like I'm feeding myself the right things, and I need to make all these adjustments because I don't feel like I'm, I feel like my head's just barely above water sometimes in my journey to be who you want me to be and be more like you. I want to be good, really, really good at just surviving. Because once I'm surviving, I'm up above the water. I'm at the base of the mountain ready to make my journey up the mountain. But if I keep crashing at the bottom and I keep sinking, I'll never go anywhere. And so I'm ready to take those steps. I'm ready to do those things. If that's you, you just stick your hand up and go, yeah, that's exactly where I'm at right now. Yeah, lots and lots of us. Let's do this. Let's pray together. Christ Jesus, I'm joining with every hand raised in this room that if it's one of those things or two of those things or all three of those things, or maybe there's even things outside of this that I didn't even talk about today, where you and I, where us and you, Lord, where we have an honest assessment, just a loving, honest assessment of where we're at, not to defeat us or discourage us, but we sit down and we just go, I'm at work. I'm ashamed to even admit I'm a believer. In my family, I don't feel equipped to lead them spiritually. And in my own spiritual health, I feel distant from you. And laying all that out makes me feel discouraged, but I know that if I know that, I know where I need to go now. I know I need your word, and I know I need time in prayer to get my balance. And I know the more time I spend on you and with you, the more I'll hunger for you, and the more I'll thirst for your righteousness, right living with you, the right things. You've prepared me for something greater than this. And I don't want to spend another minute of my life, another day, doing anything, saying anything, thinking anything that moves me away from the highest and best life you created me for. And so I am determined to make changes today, to start this adventure and live the life you created me for. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe for it and receive it as if it's already begun to happen. In your name I pray. Amen.